How's everybody doing? Well, do what?
Blessed.
Yes, we are blessed. Absolutely. We'll be talking about some of that this morning, too. So it is just a real privilege for me to get to share with you all this morning, get to do the teaching. And I'm doing the teaching today because Eric is sick. And he has, he found out earlier in the week that he has COVID. So he and Lauren are both home and they're both sick. And it is, I'm thrilled to get to teach this passage, Philippians 4:4-9. But it also breaks my heart that this is Eric's favorite passage. He had been looking forward to this. And in fact, it was his dad's favorite passage. So, Eric, bro, I'm sorry you're not here today, able to teach. And thank you that I get the privilege of doing that. But I kept his same outline. So you're really kind of hearing from Eric today. Okay? All right. So let me pray for us. Father, we just come before you now. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you give us the privilege of walking with you. And I pray that your spirit will be working in here today and that you will be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So we're going to be looking at Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. So if you will check those out. By the way, just so you, I bring my own little pointer because it's one of those real powerful ones. So if you start going to sleep and see a bright light, it's because I'm burning through your eyelids. Okay? So, and now I have to turn this thing on. Oh, I'm not doing it right there. It buzzed. I'm good. All right. So we're going to dig into Philippians 4:4-9. Next week, Weston will be wrapping up Philippians for us. So he'll be doing the last piece of it. And so today, we're going to get roaring into Philippians. I have to get everything out here. I'm sorry. Just takes me a little while. And it worked. The way of peace. Philippians 4:4-9. I'm going to read our passage all the way through to start with, and then we'll dig into it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, to start with, we're going to talk about three resources. They aren't in this passage specifically, but there are three resources that God has provided for us no matter what issues we're dealing with or what passage it is. And so I'm just going to run through those real quick with you. So there's three of them, and we'll be coming back to them at the end. The first one is the Spirit of God. One of the resources that God has given to us, the Spirit of God. The Spirit opens our eyes, and John 14:26 talks about that, and the Spirit convicts us of sin, John 16:8. And then the other resource is the Word of God. The Word is a sword that opens up our hearts. Y'all have heard me talk about that one a lot, that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So think of it as an extremely sharp sword, like a razor blade, that can go down and just carve our heart in half, and it lays it open. That's what the Word of God does to us. And then it's wielded by the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17 talks about the armor of God. And it talks about that to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Spirit wields this the sword, which is the word. And that's how those are working together. And he does that in our hearts. When we have the word in our hearts, he uses the Holy Spirit is the one who takes that sword and slices our heart. And then the people of God, we provoke one another to love and good works, Hebrews 10:24. And then there's a whole host of encouragements that are there. Love, honor, harmony, build up, etc. So those are the resources that God gives us in order to deal with what we're getting ready to deal with right now. So Philippians, it's been titled as Maximum Joy. And I'd like to say our reality that we're going to look at right here is maximum joy. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He's repeating himself, isn't he? And the reason is we need to hear that. And anytime the scriptures say something and then say it again, that means that's kind of a, yo, listen up, because this is important. And then he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Now that reasonableness, we're going to camp out on that in just a moment. So he says, rejoice in everything. Well, that's not very easy, gang. Are you going to be joyful in all the bad stuff? Yeah, that's what he says to do. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. Good stuff and bad stuff. Rejoice. So whenever I make a mess of things, am I supposed to rejoice in that? Yeah, but don't revel in it. Okay? Don't just sit in it and say, oh, this is fun. I love this. No. But we are to have considered all joy. I like the way James 1:2 puts it. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, whether those trials are from within or without. So does that mean that even when things are really bad and there's people have died and there's just all, you know, horrible stuff going on, that we're supposed to be giddy and happy? No. We grieve. We grieve with others. And the best example I'd like to share with you on that is in John, in the book of John, when Jesus is going to Mary and Martha to be with them because Lazarus, their brother, has died. And they were all three really close friends of Jesus. He would go and visit them. And they had let him know, Jesus, please come because Lazarus is sick. And scriptures say that Jesus tarried because he knew what was going to happen and it was part of the plan. And so he comes to Mary and Martha, and Lazarus has been dead for 3 days, and they are still grieving and sobbing. Now, if that had been me, okay, so if I were in had Jesus' power in his place, what I would have done, I would have had this little grin. I'd go, y'all just wait. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. That's not what Jesus did, is it? No, I'm obviously not Jesus. Sometimes I think I'm the junior Holy Spirit, but that's not true. But you know, I think I would have had a little grin because I know I'm going to raise him from the dead. This is going to be cool. And say, okay, everybody, just watch. No, Jesus wept. And the scripture there indicates it wasn't just little tears, but he was sobbing with them. And he knew what he was getting ready to do in 5 minutes. He was going to raise him from the dead. So we still grieve. We know that God's sovereign, God's in control, but that doesn't mean we don't grieve. We have emotions, and it hurts. And right then, Jesus, I think, was experiencing real anger, a good anger at death. But he overcome that. So, yeah, there's a place for grieving, but we are to rejoice in everything. All right, verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Reasonableness, that's an interesting word, isn't it? Looked it up a little bit, did a little background on that. It means not insisting on the letter of the law. It means wisdom, it's grace, doing what's appropriate. Which I like that with Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word which is good for edification according to the need of the moment. That's appropriate. Make my things that I say according to the need of the moment. And I think that also goes along with 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. It says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. Notice that, gentleness correcting others. So I think what he's talking about here is a term I'd like to call unoffendable. Now, by the way, there's a book by that title called Unoffendable. I encourage you to read it. It's a short little book, and he just talks about how we really don't have the right to get offended about anything in general. We can be angry at times whenever God's righteousness is assailed. Yes, we're to get angry at that, but we're not to be offended. We're not to, and by the way, we're also not to capitulate on error. If we see something wrong, we say something about it, but we use grace, truth, mercy. Okay, with that being said, gang, I have a few words to say. And this is a social comment. This is a societal comment, okay? So in our society today, this year of 2020, and this has been going for quite some time, there's this phrase called microaggressions. Ooh, that's something cultural, isn't it? We have to deal with that, especially in the schools, universities, and at work. Microaggressions. So how are we going to deal with that? I mean, that's the opposite of what we're talking about here, being reasonable. So how are we going to deal with that? Are we going to call people names that want us, that go, oh, you're being aggressive to me, and this is a microaggression? Are we going to get upset and call them names, and then they get upset and call us names? No. In our culture today, gang, we're going to have to learn to communicate God's truth to a world that has fallen, to a world that has a messed up view of what life is all about. And one of the things they're doing is looking for stuff to be upset about. Is that the opposite of this passage? Yes, that's what we need to communicate to people. Now, they may not be believers and they'll, you know, they might say something else nasty about you. But you know what? People did a lot worse than that to Jesus. I think we can handle it. So 2 Timothy 2:24 is the opposite of microaggression. Philippians 4:5, let your reasonableness be known to all men. So we have to think biblically as we deal with these social issues. And I think we'll be talking more about that in the future, of how to deal with some of this stuff that's going on. Well, let me ask you, are you known for grace? Or are you known for being easily offended? We need to be the opposite of that. We need to be easily edified. Now, the last phrase there, the Lord is at hand. Basically saying Christ is coming. There's hope. There's hope in all of this. Also, I'd like to say these two verses really go along with the first few verses of Philippians, where it's talking about Euodia and Syntyche and how they were in disagreement with each other. I think if they'd been applying these verses, and I think that's why Paul put them right here, they probably wouldn't have had those disagreements. So our reality is maximum joy. So the peace of God. Okay, this is the great passage that we're gonna camp out on just a little bit. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Okay, don't be anxious. Anxiety. Okay, gang, what's the emotion of 2020? I would call it anxiety, wouldn't you? Now, some may say, well, maybe it's anger. That could be number two, fear. Fear is a kissing cousin to anxiety. But those things are going on. So what is it? What's some examples of worry or anxiety? I think the best way for us to know what that is I think we need to go to Eric's dad, Bill Bryan, as he shares with us his struggles with that. Oh, when you hit it for me. Good.
I began a long journey with the unique ability of covering my anxiety, and that was the albatross sin, anxiety, worry, constant worry, not to the point of panic attacks or anything like that, but just the habitat of worry. I worried about the past. Why did I say that? What did they think when I said that? Who's that on the porch? A friend or a robber or an attacker? And I really worried about the future. What's going to become of me? Am I going to end up in a rest home and become a vegetable? Am I going to get an untimely terminal illness and die? Will I commit suicide like my daddy did? Because there's a myth about that. And on, and it carried me right into school, grade school, junior high, high school, and I did quite well in those times, and I had good relationships with people, but the people close to me knew. They knew. They saw it, and they heard it.
Bill Bryant at DTS, he shared a complete message on this particular topic, on this subject. And I thought he put it well. What were some of the things? What'd you hear, class? What'd you hear from Bill? Worry. He called it constant, didn't he? Constant worry. What else? Fear. Okay. Are the people coming up? Are they bad guys? Or what's going on? And he felt that inside of him, friend or foe. The future. Am I just going to get put in a rest home and everybody forget about me? Is an illness going to get me? Suicide. He watched his dad commit suicide. That was a big deal. People close to him knew it. Well, you know, people close to us know if we have anxiety, if we're always worrying about things, if it's always out there and kind of nibbling at us all the time. Well, let me go with a definition of worry. And this is from Timothy Lane, in a book called Living Without Worry. Worry begins when a person is trying to love equally both the Creator and something in creation, or when they are not trying to love the Creator at all, having replaced Him with something in His creation. Worry is a sign that you have made something other than God your functional God. Now, those of you that were in a class on worship of the heart, that should sound very familiar. What are things that are my functional God? There's other things. And I like another way I heard another author put it. He said, you find out what you're anxious about, or really any of your emotions, they tell you what you love. They tell you what you really love in your heart. That's where the emotions come from. By the way, okay, shameless plug, impact class in January that I'll be leading along with the rest of the counseling team, we're going to be dealing with this subject in detail. And it's called Untangling Emotions in a World of Uncertainty. And we're going to be dealing with this one, anxiety, anger, depression, fear, guilt, shame, some of those. And we'll be really digging into where does it all come from. Sorry, I had to put that one in there. Okay, so anxiousness. Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, take no thought for your life. And I find it interesting that he says, do not be anxious about anything, and the peace of God will be with you. It's referenced both in verse 5, in the peace of God. Yes, there we go. I lost myself. Both in verse 5 and in verse 9. Except here it says the peace of God, and in verse 9 it says the God of peace. So peace is an important thing. So by the way, peace of God. That didn't say peace of mind, okay? It says peace of God. That's different than peace of mind. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So what I'm telling you is, our world, our medical world, when they define peace and want you to have peace, it's not the same thing we're talking about. That's peace of mind. And that's fine. That's a good thing to have. But it's not what we're talking about here. Peace of God, which helps us to really understand what's going on around us and to believe that God is sovereign. Well, it's godly concern. God is in control. So godly concern is what we want to have when it comes to things that are crazy. God is in control. He helps us to be responsible. And you know, planning is good. It helps keep us from getting anxious. Reasonable fear of danger, vigilance. You know, Proverbs, I'm trying to remember the word, the stubborn person is the one who looks out and says, "Oh, there's a lion in the street. He's going to kill us," and he goes out and gets eaten. The wise man says, "I'm just going to stay in the house and shut the door." Okay, that's wisdom. And God gave us this emotion of anxiety so that we can know when there's something's up and I need to be aware of it. It should drive me to doing positive things. Now, ungodly concern is anxiety. What might happen, as what Eric's dad was saying, what might happen tomorrow? I'm worrying. What's the worst case thing that could happen? And it's anxiety about everything. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Don't worry about anything." Well, there's things that can come to us from the outside and things that come at us from the inside. From the outside, from anxiety, there's earthquakes, tornadoes, pandemics. Have we heard of those before? Accidents, crime. We live in a fallen world, gang. Those things are going to happen. And inside of us, we are fallen, so we have depraved hearts. So we mess up relationships, make bad decisions. All those things give us anxiety. So what am I going to do about it? Well, pray. That's what I'm going to do. So he says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving," or praise. Now, Eric's dad, when he was teaching this, he had the five P's here, and it was five P's in a pod is what he called it. I think you could find that on YouTube, the entire message, if you wanted to. If you Googled five P's in a pod, I think you would probably find it. So the first one is pray. We're going to pray about what's going on. God says, "Come to me, pour your heart out to me, lift your concerns to me. He's sovereign and has our best." Jeremiah 17:11, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future in your heart, give you a future and a hope." So pour out your heart to God. That's not ranting, okay? That's just sharing your heart with God. See how David does it in the Psalms. He does that a great deal. So prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So praise. I know Thanksgiving doesn't start with a P, so he needed to come up with a P word, so we call it praise. Okay, reference verse 4. "Only a thankful heart is a joyful heart. Pray when you worry. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks." So that means daily give thanks to God. By the way, whenever I'm counseling with people, one of the first things we do, no matter what the issues are, we start writing down things that we're thankful for every day. It's incredible what the scriptures, what God says will happen if you give thanks to God every day. It is incredibly powerful. Now, by the way, Thanksgiving. Don't we have a holiday by the title of that? Thanksgiving? Like maybe on Thursday, right? So here we have Thanksgiving coming up. And COVID has us in a tizzy. Right? Everybody's going, "Oh, I don't know if I can have family over, and I don't know if we can do this, and this, oh, everything's all messed up. Woe is me. Poor, pitiful me. It's going to be horrible. Now I have anxiety over it." Well, you know, we're not the Lone Rangers and having to not, if you choose not to, to not celebrate Thanksgiving or not be around family for Thanksgiving. I recall a time back in 1943, I don't recall it, I've read about it, 1943 to 1945, when there were millions that did not celebrate Thanksgiving together. They were all deployed overseas. Today, by the way, we have 200,000 troops deployed. They're not with family for Thanksgiving. Now let's bring it on closer to home. Company that I just have, that I retired from about a year ago, Helmer Campaign, they've got rigs running all over the U.S. They have approximately 750 rig hands, roughnecks, who will not be with their family at Thanksgiving because they'll be working on making sure that we have natural gas to heat our homes and gasoline to drive our cars. And then obviously, tons of people, police, fire, medical in Tulsa, that will all be away from home on Thanksgiving. So we need to not be offended and be big boys and make it through it. Okay, verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this is the next one, third one, peace. Now it's a source, the source is God, not our own feelings. And it's not depending on our mind for this peace, which is why it is beyond understanding. So the natural man doesn't understand what we do. So when he says, this is again why I say that the peace is not the peace that you get from a pill or the peace that you get when somebody says, you know, just think about positive things, you know, sunsets and flowers and things of that nature. Because that's not what we're talking about here. This is a much deeper peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. So our world can't understand the peace that is available for us today, right now. And it just, John 14 again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So now if we try to just do it with our mind, okay? So the mind can try to hold the line, but without God, it's impossible. It surpasses anything the world can comprehend or accomplish. The natural mind compares and is always uncertain and not content. By the way, it's not Eastern meditation, you know, when we start meditating on Scripture. It's the positive thinking, you know, the power of positive thinking. No. It's in Christ Jesus only. Only God can do this. Now, it's interesting, in his message, Bill Bryan quoted Larry Crabb talking about, well, why is it that people want to go and get help that's not spiritual to experience that peace that passes all understanding? And he said, the reason is the person is saying, I am determined to remain independent of God and still make life work. This is the opposite of what God wants. As I said, it's not thinking about flowers and beautiful sunsets. All right. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Okay, so finally, he says, kind of in conclusion, and he says, brothers. That means believers, okay? Brethren, that's us. He says, if there's anything worthy of praise, I want you to think about these things. So what's controlling your thoughts? Is it stuff that's true? All of these list of things? And it's positive thoughts. That's why we have to have a P on that, okay? The thinking of things positive. So, but is it Hallmark movie thoughts? Okay, those are pretty positive. Those are good. I like watching those. Jesus, let me tell you, this list of things that we have here, Jesus fulfills all of those. So does that mean I'm supposed to just look at a picture? Well, we don't really have pictures of Jesus, but artists come up with what they think. And I'm supposed to just look at that picture? Yeah, I don't think so. Or I think about the Jesus film, and I think about Jesus in the Jesus film. Well, that might be a little closer, but no, that's not what it's talking about. You know, C.S. Lewis, in his book, Screwtape Letters, which you really ought to read that, it's a great book. And in that book, Screwtape is telling Wormwood, now here's how you get this Christian and keep him sidetracked. When he gets ready to pray, make sure that he looks at that picture of Jesus on the wall and thinks, that's who I'm praying to, rather than the God of the universe. It's subtle, but I think it's important. So John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you want to, what are these things referring to? The Word. Things that you see out of the Word. Those are the things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable. Excellence. So, don't set your mind on pretty things. Set your mind on the Word of God. That's the daily engagement with the Word. You hear us talking about that up here all the time, right? Daily engagement with the Word. This is one of the reasons why. So that we can set our mind on the things above. And so the goal is not about feelings of happiness, but holiness. Colossians 3:23, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. So Paul says it again in Colossians, set your mind on the things above. Okay? Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, that's the scariest verse in this whole section. It's terrifying. Because it says, practice what you preach. Practice what you see in me. Ah, man. In Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, be imitators of me. And then in Philippians 3:17, just the previous chapter, he said, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Wow. So practice. Do these things. Don't just talk about them. We have to do them. And that's why we have a daily quiet time and why we memorize Scripture. We can do these things. All right. Summary. Pulling it all together now, okay, because I've been all over the place with different things. Let's pull it together. Summary, we start with three resources. The daily engagement with the Word. That's my quiet time. Scripture memory, reading of the Scriptures, listening to it. Those are all the ways I've got to get the Scriptures inside of me to change me. Number two there, ask God to see the Spirit, to use the Spirit to open our eyes to the Word. So ask God and say, God, search me and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is to open our eyes to the Word and to convict us of sin. Ask others around you to help keep you accountable in the Word and in your thoughts. That's why we have the small groups. Get involved in a small group and get to know people so that they can help you, they can encourage you. And then the five P's. Pray and lift your anxious thoughts and feelings to God. If you're an anxious person, man, things just boiling along all the time, pray. Lift your anxious thoughts and feelings to God. Ask God for His peace. Daily thanksgiving. Write down what you're thankful for every day. Think on the Word. Spend time, that daily engagement in the Word, and do this as a habit. You do that, and you begin to see maximum joy taking place. Now, if y'all can pull out your, what do they call cards? Connection cards, right? Yeah, there we go, connection cards. Don't laugh at me. You get up here in front of everybody and you won't be able to remember your name, okay? So, connection cards. Pull out your connection cards. And we have, and I think, let's see, and y'all may want to be coming up here now, okay. And let's look at next steps. And make sure that you put down your name and email, even if you don't have something in particular to ask for prayer or something like that for. But please, if there's things that we can pray for you, if you're anxious and you're not writing anything down for things for prayer, come on, gang, write it down. So, next steps. I will acknowledge reality. So, acknowledging reality, that was the rejoice, and I'm going to be reasonable, I'm not going to be easily offended, okay? So that's, I will acknowledge reality. Next step, I will rely on God's power, those five P's. Okay, do you remember them? Well, I won't test you, I'll put them up there. Okay, so prayer, praise, peace, positive thoughts, and practice. It's great stuff to help us deal with anxiety, gang. And the next one, I will lean into God's resources. Remember, we've kind of spread it all through there. The Spirit of God. God has given us His Spirit to be able to deal with His resource for dealing with this. The Word of God and the people of God. So I encourage you, look at those next steps. What would God have you to do as we try to experience maximum joy? Let me pray real quickly. Father, we just thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. I pray it will do the work in our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would be convicting us of sin and opening our eyes. And I pray, Father, that our anxious hearts will turn to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.